All right. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm the children's and youth pastor here, and we've spent, this is now the fourth week, last week, that I'll be up here going through the book of Philippians. In the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about, our theme has been this, living a life that matters. What does it mean to live a life that matters? And we've been looking through the book of Philippians that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi and relating that to our lives. In the first week, we talked about this idea of being a customer or co-worker. Are you a customer or are you a co-worker in the gospel? Do you see yourself coming to church just being a customer? What do I get out of it? Or are you a co-worker that's working with everybody else? The second week, we talked about the idea that every single one of us in this room is necessary. We talked about whether good things or bad things happen, we press on. And lastly, we talked about how as a body, if we become united and all the parts of the body work together, we can be unstoppable. And then last week, we talked about, it's slipping me, who knows? This is a quiz. Does anybody know what we talked about last week? Oh, there you go. Someone was paying attention. Working out our salvation. We talked about that we don't work for our salvation. I had that story about a mine. If you had a mine on your property, if it was full of gold, you have to work out that mine. You have to get the gold out of it. We've been given a free gift, yes, but it's not just a check a box kind of a thing. It's a free gift that we work out and we make better because God loved us so much. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. And the question that I want you to think about this morning is this. What is your finish line? As it is Father's Day, a lot of us men, we are one-track mind kind of people. What is your finish line? What's that goal that we are aiming for? Before we get into this, let's pray this morning. Dear God, we just thank you for bringing each and every one of us here. We pray that you would open our ears, our minds, and our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me this morning, that we would learn something new, be transformed, grow closer to you, and most importantly, live out the life that you have given us that matters oh so much to you and to people around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about this question about what is your finish line, I'm going to start with another question. Are you in love with God? Are you in love with God? Would you categorize yourself as someone who's in love with God? As I thought about this idea of love, for me, something that I love a lot would be my wife. I love her a lot. Yay, there you go. I told her the first week, I said, I'd get you in one of my sermons, I promise. But I love my wife. And I know for me, I have an awesome work schedule, which is flexible, and I can work whenever I want. But I know that that garage door is going to be opening at like 3:56 to 3:58. And I know that she's going to be coming home. So for me, I love her so much that I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to be with her. So I make every effort to make sure that I'm home by like 3:55 if I'm gone. So that as soon as she comes home, I'm there. I'm able to see her. And I think when you're in love with someone, you ultimately can't wait to see that person. You're just so excited to see that person. Think about that kind of love when we ask that question. Are you in love with God? Can you not wait to see God? Can you not wait to be in heaven and be in his presence rejoicing with him? Are you in love with God? Or are you the person this morning that maybe you think, I'd be kind of sad to leave this world, to leave what I've built here on this earth. I've worked so hard for my home, my family, my cars, my house, whatever it is. Would you be a little sad to leave what you have here to go and be with Jesus? Or are you that person that's like, hey, no matter what, I am so excited to go be in heaven. I could care less about everything else in the world. I think this morning, my challenge is that we should be craving heaven. for me in my life, I can't wait for that moment. That moment of sitting at the gates of heaven and God saying, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. And he opens those gates and I'm there, spending eternity, forever with God. As we've studied the book of Philippians, we've seen throughout the weeks that Paul says, hey, you know, reminds us to rejoice. And he also, we've seen that he said, hey, if you're going to follow Christ, life isn't going to be perfect. Life isn't going to be 100% easy. Paul said in Philippians, he said, hey, I want to share in Christ's sufferings. And I think as believers, if we pursue a mission, if we pursue living a life that matters, that God has called us to, there's going to be suffering at some point. Jesus suffered to the point of death. And for us as believers, there might be a way, oh, I don't want to suffer too much. So I'm going to be that person that goes to church, checks that box, reads my Bible, checks that box. I'm going to be the Christian that is a customer, like we talked about on the first week. And you say, hey, I don't want to go out and reach the community, the gospel, share the gospel with strangers, because I'm going to get persecuted. I'm going to suffer. That doesn't sound like fun. And we can be that kind of believer, a customer. But we need to be reminded that Jesus suffered to the point of death for us. I like this idea of our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship isn't here on this earth. All of us in this room are citizens of the United States. Some of us, like Derek Twilliger, are even cooler and have dual citizenship in Canada and America, or maybe somewhere else. But most of us have a citizenship here in the United States. But do we consider ourselves that, hey, our citizenship is in heaven? That's the one that matters the most. This idea of what is that question, what is your finish line? Are you in a hurry to see Jesus? Or have you built a home, a foundation here on earth that you're more concerned about? I think it's evident through Scripture in Philippians, in Paul's life, that Paul's whole life was preparing for the moment when he was going to see Jesus. He didn't care about anything else. He knew, my one thing I'm worried about is that moment when I'm going to see Jesus. This morning, if you haven't turned to your Bibles already, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 is what we're going to start with. So we read through this. Verse 12 says this, not that I've already obtained all of this. So Paul is saying, hey, he's referring to everything that he's talked about before this. He says, not that I've obtained all of this. What is he talking about? Just the things that we've talked about the last 3 weeks. He says, not that I've obtained complete understanding of what it looks like to be a customer or a coworker. Not that I've already obtained the idea that I know 100% that I'm necessary. Not that I've obtained the idea that I press on through good things and bad things that come at me. Not that I've already obtained this idea that we need to be united and be unstoppable. Not that I've obtained this idea that I need to work out my salvation. He says, we're all sinful nature, sinners. This is all good stuff, but he's saying, hey, not that I've obtained all of this, or that I've already arrived at my goal. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He says, I haven't arrived at my goal, that goal of being with Christ in heaven. But he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Christ took hold of us because he loved us so much. Paul's saying, hey, I want to take hold of that same love and share that with others and be a part of that. Verse 13 says this, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the church in Philippi, but this applies to us. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's saying, I haven't grasped it. Our human minds can't grasp. Last week we talked about the idea of who God is, sitting on a throne. the train of his robe filling the whole room, these creatures, six-winged creatures flying above God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Paul's saying, I haven't taken hold of it, probably. It's too vast for my feeble mind to understand. But he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Paul says, there's one thing that I do. Everything that's happened in my past, everything that's behind me, I don't focus on it. I don't look at it. Because we can't change the past. But he says, hey, I'm straining towards what's in front of me. I'm straining toward what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, hey, I press on. Don't worry about what's behind you. You can't change it. That's happened. Cool. But press on towards the goal. What's the goal? To win the prize. What's the prize? That God has called us to be in heaven with him forever, to have eternal life. That's the prize. That's what Paul is pressing on towards. Verse 15 says this, all of us then who are mature should take such view of things. He's calling us out. He's saying, hey, if you call yourself a believer here in this room, you should have that same mindset that everything behind us doesn't matter. But our focus, what is our finish line? Our finish line is to press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 15, and if on some point you think differently. He says, what? We are sinful people. We're like Israel. He says, at some point, if you get to the point where you're not focused on that goal, that prize, you know, you're kind of, maybe you're off over here and you're not focused. You get a little mixed up. He's saying, I pray that God will say, hey, wake up. Remember what your goal is. That God would make it clear to us, say, hey, focus. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Saying, let us live up to what we have already attained. That we would live up to what? That free gift that we've been given. God says, here you go. Here's a way for you. I've made a way for you to get to heaven. That we would live that way. When I read this passage, I get this picture of somebody running a race. Running a race, but they haven't necessarily made it to the podium. They're not on that podium of what place they've been in. And for me, if you didn't know this about me, I actually ran cross country when I was in high school. And as a cross country runner, my coach always told us, he said, hey, don't ever look behind you. Like, oh, I want to see who is the closest person because I don't want that person to pass me. And for me, if we ever, like during practice, or me, if we ever looked behind ourselves, you want to talk about running. You ran a lot. Cross country is usually 5K, it's 3 miles. We train for like 8 miles. But if you look behind yourself, guess what? You got yourself an instant like 5 miles tacked on. But our coach would always say, hey, keep your eyes on crossing that finish line. That's what your goal is. Your goal is to, in a little over 3 miles, pass a finish line. And if part of the race, there was strategy. As you ran your race, if there was somebody in front of you, you would be running, you would try to slowly increase your pace to catch up to the pace of the person in front of you. So you're pacing yourself, and as soon as you get there, and you can, your goal was to pass that person. You'd pass that person as soon as you get in front of them. If you don't know anything about cross country, it's like the suckiest kind of running you could ever do. But if somebody's in front of you, like you're so exhausted that you're just like, hey, as long as I stay behind this person, that's all that matters. So if you're the person that's in front, you can set the pace for everybody behind you. Because they're like, all right, I'm still in the same place. But as a runner, your goal was to be leading that group of people, that person. I think it applies in the same way in our lives. that maybe there's small, we see the finish line that God's called us to, but there's little goals, setting a pace, getting in front, ultimately towards our main goal. I think Paul tells us that we can't live, we know for a fact that none of us can live the perfect life. I don't think there's anybody in the world that could run the perfect 3 miles. If they could do it in like 9 minutes, that'd be incredible, I think. I don't know what's the fastest. You know what the fastest is? No, he's not even shaking his head because he doesn't like to be called out. I know you're a cross country. Yeah, you. No? Okay. But you can't run the perfect 1 minute, 3 miles. You just can't do it. In the same way in our lives, we can't run a perfect life. We can't obtain perfection. But like 2 weeks ago when I talked about press on, Paul said, press on, strain for. No matter what happens, just keep going. I like this idea that Paul never looked behind himself. He never looked behind. There's a lot of people, stories in the Bible that kind of have this same mindset. If you think about the story of Lot's wife, Sodom and Gomorrah were being destroyed, and they were running out because God was going to destroy that whole city. And they said, hey, just keep running. Don't look behind yourselves. What happened? She looked behind herself, and she became a pillar of salt. Another story in the Bible would be like Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Joseph was sitting there, and what happened? Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, but he knew, here's my goal. Here's my end goal. Here's my finish line. I know where it is. I'm not going to get distracted over here by this. So he runs out. He runs out of the room, naked. He's like, I'm done. I'm not going to be involved in that. What is our finish line? What are we focused on? This week, as I was preparing the sermon, actually, long story short, I was actually preparing a summer camp sermon, and this applied to what I was doing for this morning also. And it comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. In this story, his disciples and this group of men are walking with Jesus. And they're walking along a road. Starting in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, and this man is talking to Jesus. He looks at Jesus and he says, I will follow you wherever you go. He looks at Jesus and says, hey man, I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna be by your side, I'm gonna go where you go. Verse 58, let's see how Jesus replies. He says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This is kind of an interesting response. What is he saying here? He's saying, hey, foxes have a den. They have a home that they go to at the end of the day. Just like we, after work, you go home. Birds, they have nests. They have a home. But he says, me, the Son of Man, I have no place to lay my head. He said, here on this earth, my goal is heavenward. He said, if you're going to follow me, pretty much what he was saying, he's saying, if you want to follow me, guess what? We're going to be walking for a long time because I have a goal. Verse 59, Jesus looked at another guy that was hanging out walking on along the street. He looked at this guy and he says, hey, follow me. The man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. So the man goes, oh, yes, he asked me. I've been waiting for that moment. But he said, hey, just hold on. My dad just passed away. I need to go bury him. I need to go take care of these things. What did Jesus say? Verse 60. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Like, if you don't read that and you're like, what? Jesus, you're supposed to love people. No, he says, hey, he's dead. Let the dead Like, he's dead. Let the dead take care of their own. He says, you just come with me. Let's go proclaim the kingdom of God. Verse 61, there was another man walking along the street. He looked at Jesus. He says, hey, I will follow you, Lord. He goes, me too. I want to follow you. But first, you know, like, wait 5 minutes. I'm going to run, say bye, mom, bye, dad, bye, wife, bye, my kids. I'm going to go follow Jesus because this is awesome. But I just want to say bye to him. Verse 62, Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus is kind of giving us another little story to help us think this through. And he said, hey, if you're plowing a field, if you go to plow a field, back then, I don't know, the people that might know this more than I do. I've never plowed a field. So, but I believe that back then when they plowed a field, they had an animal and they had a plow. And as soon as that animal got going, they would go and they would plow their field. And they wouldn't look back because they're focused on one thing. And Jesus is saying, he's saying, hey, if you go to plow a field and you are looking backwards, not good. That's not how you do it. And he says, if that's you, you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. He's telling this guy, he says, hey, if you're saying you want to follow me, but you want to go say goodbye to your family, you're not fit. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of mean. Like, if God said, hey, don't want your family, like, I don't want to say the word that came to my mind, but it says, who cares? Who cares about your family? Follow me. Jesus, in the same way, was saying, hey, we are focused on a finish line to be with God forever. Paul, in Philippians, tells us the same thing. He looks towards the finish line. I think for all of us in this room, there are things that we did in our past that affect how we live now and how we're going to live in the future, which is great. But I think what's coming in the future should more affect the decisions that we make now than our past. Don't worry about the past. Yeah, we learn. We're all sinners. We make mistakes and we learn from our past and we correct and we mature and we do these things. Yes, that's true. But that's not why we live the way that we live. We live the way that we live because we understand that our life matters, that God created us for a purpose. We live the way that we live because we're focused on a finish line. Ultimately, everything in this world is either going to bring reward or it's going to bring regret. Every decision that we do. Paul is telling us, hey, follow my example. Come alongside me. Because my goal is to live like Christ, who is the perfect example. I think there's two types of believers in the world today, in the church, for me, at least. One, there's Christians who are worthy of being followed. And you say, hey, that guy's a pastor of a church, or Jason's so awesome. No, I'm humble. But you see people and you say, hey, that's the kind of person I want to follow. I want to be like that person. I want to come alongside. I want to be mentored by that person. And then I think there's people, Christians, believers, we see that there's people that, those people are people that we are not worthy of following. You don't want to be like them. As I thought about in the United States, I don't know what it is, it's like 6.6 billion people live in the United States. One third of the United States says, hey, I'm a Christian. Okay? So that's like 2.2 billion people. Let's say that they're Christians in the United States. How many of those 2.2 billion people are people that are worthy of being following and saying, hey, I want to be a part of that? How many of those 2.2 billion are people that are not worthy of being followed? I think a lot of that 2.2 billion people is people that say, hey, I'm a Christian because I'm a conservative. Or, I'm a Christian because I believe that there is a God. Paul's telling us being a Christian is a little bit different than that. And I think there's a lot of people, even just in America, that probably walk as enemies of God that are going to be pretty shocked when God comes back. My question for you is this. Is God what you hunger for? Is he your finish line? Do you hunger and thirst for God? Ultimately, we are hopeful people sitting here on this earth saying, hey, we are waiting for a Savior. We're waiting for Christ to come back. The phrase of, it's not about how you talk, but it's about how you walk, comes to my idea. Yeah, we can say all the perfect things. All the Christian things and sound perfect, but are you walking a life that represents Christ? I'm going to use this word. I've never done it being preaching. But who's going to look stupid when Christ comes back? Like that moment that Christ comes back and he says, what are you guys doing? Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. That idea. We're not just citizens of the United States. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. We're down here on earth, hope that Christ is coming back. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, we wait for the Savior, Jesus, who's God, 100% God, has 100% control of everything, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That sounds fun. This is bad. I'm going to be like opposite of humble today. So I'm going to tell this story because I just have to. This is why I do youth ministry. But he's saying, hey, we will transform our lowly bodies into a glorious body. So he'll transform all of our lowly bodies into a glorious body like mine. No. See, I told you, I just had to do that. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, we're not going to have these humanly flesh bodies. We're going to be in the presence of God. It's going to be better than anything that we could ever imagine. But my part that I like the most there is that idea that our citizenship is in heaven. That's the finish line. Ultimately, our goal is to live with God forever in heaven, where we are already citizens. That's our goal. Our goal is to live with God forever in heaven, where we are already citizens. Look at your Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Being the last week that I'm going to be up here, I was like, I got to throw this in here, because this is a good one. Verse 1. Paul's saying, therefore again, everything that we've talked about, therefore, brothers and sisters, going to end it with a bang, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. He's saying, brothers and sisters, these people that I love and I long for, in the same way, this believers, you guys, for me, that's why I'm up here, because I long for you and I love you and I pray for you on a weekly basis. You're my joy and you're my crown. One more important thing. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Saying, if you take all that in, stand firm in the Lord in this way. He's saying, because of all of everything that we've talked about, stand firm. Know that your foundation is set. Ultimately, Paul is telling us we have to stay focused. Don't lose focus. That same way that God says, hey, you're getting distracted. Remember what your finish line is. Stay focused on that. I'm going to close this morning with two questions. I'm going to leave you with questions. This is the best way to leave people. Wanting more. Two questions for you to think about. I think these are up there. Are they? Go to the next one. Yeah. Look at that. Question number one. What have you done this last week that matters in eternity? What have you done in the last 7 days that matters in eternity? You get loving people, encouraging, praying for them, sharing the gospel with them, being compassionate. What your week, your whole week, what have you done that matters in eternity? Second question for you to think about this week. What have you done this week that does not matter in eternity? Are your lists a little off? I went to work. I paid the bills. Gardened my garden. Watered my plants. Drove my kids to school. I'm not saying that those aren't important in the matter of eternity. But that's for you to figure out and for you to answer for yourselves. What have you done in the last 7 days and last week that matters in eternity? What have you done in the last week and the last 7 days that doesn't matter in eternity? And my goal is that you have been blessed in the last 4 weeks as we talk about this idea of what does it mean to live a life that matters? Because God's put that on my heart, to live a life that matters, no matter what. That's my challenge for you. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we just thank you for this letter of Philippians, that we would go on and we continue and maybe read in our devotionals, and there's so much more in the book of Philippians that we just barely scratched the surface. Pray that we would remember from these last weeks that you've called us to be a coworker, not a customer, that every single one of us, no matter who we are, what we've done, we are necessary, no matter whether good things or bad things happen to us, that we're supposed to press on, and that we come together to be unstoppable, that we work out our salvation. It's not just something that we go, woohoo, we got it, but that we work it out. And ultimately, that we would remember what is that finish line that we're looking for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.